Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Well, good morning, everyone. It truly is a beautiful, beautiful day. What about this setting? Isn't it amazing? You know, sometimes I forget. I was talking to somebody this week, and they said, Bill, you announced that I'll meet you on the south side. And he said, where, Greenwood? Something like that. And I thought, oh, okay, I understand. We need to communicate better. This is the south campus, and it's a beautiful, beautiful. There's over 100 acres, for those that don't know here. There's a wall right there, a 40-foot wall. People will be, after we have the baptism, after we eat, then the wall will be opened up and people can climb up that, jump off a zip line, go about 450 feet through the woods and hope that they come down back to earth, okay? But, there's all kinds of trails back there. It's beautiful. You'll be able to go out to the baseball court, what are they called? Baseball fields, tennis courts there if you'd like to use those, and also the pond. We'll have out there are some canoes that you can use at. So let's just have a great time today. But the couple behind me, they've been part of the Bible College here and been here for 2 years. And now the Lord is sending them to Colorado, Mike and Cammie. And just wanted to leave them an opportunity to say what's going on in their hearts. So welcome these guys, please.
Good morning, church.
Yeah, this is my wife, Cammie, and I'm Mike Thompson. And we came out here 2 years and 8 months ago. Took us 2 years to be obedient to what God called us to get out here. But man, when we came driving onto this property, never saw it sight unseen, and just to see the blessing that all the laborers have gone before us to where we just had to drive up and walk in this. So thank you for everybody that's been a part of making this campus, making this church a place to where people show up to sit at the Lord's feet for 2 years or however long he calls them, that it's a place of rest. It's a sanctified, set-apart area. It's hallowed ground. So thank you for that. We're leaving tomorrow morning to Colorado. The Lord has invited us out there. And we will be, simply put, what we'll be doing out there is coming alongside Freedom Calvary Chapel in Pueblo. And what we'll be doing is we'll be rescuing the dying. We'll be giving sight to the blind. We'll be setting the captives free. We'll be discipling people. We'll be building up the body to do ministry, to do evangelism, to do outreach, to learn how to engage people and ask them one of the most important questions that you can ask someone is, how's your day going? Right? Because if they don't know Jesus, I know how their day's going. And when they share with you how their day's going, something supernatural happens. The Holy Spirit gets involved and they share deep, intimate things. And then I love to ask them, how do you deal with that, right? And then you'll get all kinds of different answers. And then you have an opportunity to share your story and then share how you deal with things and how you used to deal with things and how you deal with them now. So Pueblo is, it's a dying city. It's ripped apart. Colorado, as we know, is one of those states where they legalize marijuana and it is actually ripping that state apart. You can go on and read reports about what legalizing that has done to their state. Pueblo has the highest overdose rate per capita of 100,000 people in the United States. So we're going to go, we want to minister to ambulance drivers, the fire department, the police, right? Because they're the ones seeing these people dying every day at numbers that are just, they've never been there before like this. Right? And the whole reason why people are doing this, right, is because of that hole in their chest. And they consume everything the world has to try to fill that hole, right? I've been there. I think we've all been there, right? And if you're there today still, talk to me after this. But we all know it's all a lie. There's nothing that can fill that void except Jesus Christ crucified. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go out there and we're going to rescue the dying. And please pray for us because we're already being hammered. We love you.
Cammie, go ahead. Say something.
You're good?
Ditto.
Let's pray for them. Father, I love these guys, and it's been a great privilege to have them with us. The testimony that you have given them as you brought Mike out of the world in a big way, and the testimony of Cammy that she stood by her man through the thick and the thin. Lord, we thank you. We pray now as we lay hands upon them that, Lord, you will take them and use them, give them safe passage to Colorado. And Lord, open the doors, give them favor. Favor in ways that they didn't even imagine, but let your provision be there for each effort that you'd have them, each ministry that you've called them into. But Lord, may they be filled with your Holy Spirit and anoint their words and empower them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Love and you we're guys. Packing at 9:30 tomorrow morning at the Brick House. So if you got nothing to do.
All right, let's open our Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. And when we were speaking of Hurricane that's down there, Harvey, Hurricane Harvey down there in Texas, we're putting together a team to go down along with the thousands of other teams that are going. If you'd like to be part of that team, if you can get away, it's going to be about a week, maybe a little bit more of time. And we don't know exactly when it is, but if you, as you leave, there's a table out there as you came in. Just put your name down there and your phone number, and we'll contact you and see how it all works out. Philippians chapter 2, I wanted to begin in verse 5. When we have an opportunity to be out like this, I usually step back from our normal going through, for instance, the book of Mark is where we're in the midst of. And I just today want us just to slow down in life and let's just talk about Jesus. I'm going to just talk about Jesus and who he is, the names of Jesus, characteristics that we see of Jesus, the titles of Jesus. So that's all we're going to do. It's not a fancy Bible study in any way whatsoever. As I get into it, you'll see that we'll just be talking about our Lord, who he is, all that he has done for us today. And I pray that it would go deep into our hearts and it would go into our minds and we'd be so happy and so rejoicing in all that he has done for each and every one of us. In verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2, notice it says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." In other words, he didn't hold on to being in heaven. He willfully stepped out of heaven to become a servant and to die on the cross for each and every one of us. And then verse 7, it says, "But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant," that's a man, "and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." If you underline in your Bible, go ahead and underline that, because that's the heart of what we're going to be talking about today. His name is above every name. Today, we can think of people that we know that are well-known people. They've done great things for communities. They've been good people, and their life stands for things that we want to model ourselves after. Well, we are to be thankful for that. But the Bible tells us that there's a name above every name. As we see, it's Jesus Christ. And then in verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue, every human being, I personally believe, will see Jesus Christ face to face. For us that know Jesus today, then we will see him and we will rejoice with him as we are there in heaven with him someday. But for those that have chosen to continue to reject until they come to the point where they die a physical death on this earth, and they have never confessed him as their Lord and Savior, there is a day, according to Revelation, the great white throne judgment, where every human being will stand before God and have an opportunity to be before him. Every tongue, notice again it says, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everyone will see who he is. So it's very important, as we heard Mike's testimony You heard his heart that he's going to Pueblo there in Colorado, and he's going there for the souls of people, souls just like you and I. I don't know about you, but I can think back in my mind about hearing about people praying for Vi and I before we accepted Jesus Christ, that they were burdened for our salvation. They were concerned about our lives, and we are to be that way today, really, really concerned about anyone who does not know Jesus Christ. And so at the name of Jesus Christ, it's amazing, verse 10 again, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Names are very important. It's interesting. But what is in a name? Do the titles and names of Jesus hold a significance? In the days when the Bible was being written, the Israelites often chose names for their babies based on the child's character or appearance. For instance, Esau, you know him in the Old Testament. Esau means hairy. So when he was born, he was hairy all over, I guess. Kind of gross, huh? But they named him Esau because he was hairy all over. Korah, for some reason, he was more bald than most kids, I guess, because they called him Korah, which means bald. Some babies were named because of an incident at their birth, or their names were based on some hope or prayer of the parent, as in Zechariah's name. Zechariah's name means God has remembered. Sometimes babies receive the name of an everyday object, like Tamar, that's palm tree, and Tabitha, that's gazelle. Parents often name their children by the time of the day they were born. For example, Shaham means dawn, Hodesh means new moon. And the condition of the mother also frequently inspired a name. Think about when you ladies gave birth to a child at that point. The condition that you were in at that point, if you would name your child after that condition. One lady did that, and it meant exhausted. Exhausted. So she named her child Leah in that way. And so we have the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus, he was named prophetically. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, it says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" The name of Jesus. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Names are important. It's nice to hear our name sometimes called out, isn't it? You know, when it's time to win the lottery and they call out your name. That feels pretty good, I guess. It's going to destroy your life if it's too much, but anyway. But, you know, it's nice at times we hear our names called out, and it means special things to us. It's always important to remember everybody's name. I used to be able to, when I was younger, I would meet a person the second time, and I'd have their first and last name down. Now I notice the last name has disappeared, you know, and pretty soon it's just going to be, "Hey, you, how are you?" You know, I have a friend that always said, "Hey, buddy, brother, sister." And I said, "Why do you do that? You don't even know them." He says, "Because I can't remember their name. So I just, I got to just say that." My father-in-law, when he met you, he always said, "Howdy doody." He never said hi. He always said, "Howdy doody." And I figured out because he didn't know anybody. He couldn't remember their names at that age. But it's important to remember the names of people, to speak the names of people. So all I'm going to do today, I'm going to just simply share, as we are together here, the different names found in Scripture concerning Jesus. I'm going to share the titles that are found that address Jesus Christ, the characteristics of the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to talk about those. I have a bunch of notes here, and it's pretty thick for me. I usually have no more than 5 pages, but I have 40 pages here. You guys ready? 40 pages. Actually, there's 351 either titles or names or characteristics of Jesus Christ. You guys got time today? 351. Come on, you're not very enthusiastic about that. 351. But I'm not going to do that. And if you'd like this, we're going to have it on the website on Tuesday if you want to just go and download it. It's amazing. Went through this and just see all the names, all the titles about Jesus. Each one, please stay tuned in and think about each one. I don't have time to read the scripture reference on every single one of them, but just think. The first one is the Son. As we look in scripture in 1 John 4:14, it says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." He is known simply as the Son. That's, by the way, capital S. That's who it is that we worship today. He is known as being the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? He's not just the Son, but Scripture tells us He's the Son of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 32, Scripture says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." He's the Son of the Highest. That's who He is that we worship today. Sometimes I think we forget that, don't you? I forget. This is the God that I worship this day. This is the person, yes, that has died for me and was buried and rose from the dead to the living, ascended into heaven. He's coming back again. But this is the Son of the Highest. He is, as we see, the beloved Son. Jesus said, "I am the Son of God." It goes on and on. It says in Scripture in Hebrews 1, verse 8, it says, "But unto the Son He said, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom.'" You know, I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful." Listen to His name. "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's who we worship today, Jesus. He's known as God manifested in the flesh. He came into the flesh. He is our God and He is our Savior. He is the Lord. In Romans it says, "For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He is the Lord. That's His title there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is known as the Lord of glory in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." It goes on and on. Jesus Himself says, "I am. I simply am. Before Abraham was, I am." What is He saying? He was the I am of the burning bush. He who met Moses there in the burning bush was none other than the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lord. He also said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said that the Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. We hear that as a reference to Jesus Christ. He is the creator of all things. In Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, "For by Him were all things created." You and I, created by Him. Is He worthy to be worshipped? He truly is. Now, that was weak. I don't like weak. Is He worthy to be worshipped? He truly is. And that's what we see in Scripture. Interesting, He's the Alpha and the Omega. And we see all the way through Scripture, He is known as the Word of Life. The image of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, "in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Jesus spoke to His disciples and said, "Have you not known who I am? If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father who is in heaven." And today, if we want to understand our Father, if we want to understand things about our God, then we need to go in Scripture and simply just read about Him. The Bible tells us that He's the express image of the person of God. He is the wisdom of God. We see that He is known as the man Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, speaking of His position as the Messiah, but we see that man means that He came to this earth and became one of us. We see He's known as the child Jesus. It tells us the gospel message at that point. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The child Jesus, He became one of us. The Bible tells us that He is known as the apostle. He is also a prophet, mighty in deed and word. But I love this title of Him, and we just read it. It says that He is a servant, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. We see all the way through Scripture, he's a man of sorrows. In Isaiah chapter 52 and 53, we see all that he would go through. He's known simply as Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the righteous, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's who we choose to worship today. It's amazing. As we go through Scripture, we see that he's known as the Messiah, which is called Christ. He is the Christ of God, the Lamb of God, a Lamb without blemish and without spot. He is the Lamb that was slain there on the cross for you and I. All these things about him, I just found 351. I imagine there's more than that as you go through the Scriptures. We know him as the shepherd of the sheep. The Bible says that he is the way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. We see him, Scripture, as the door of the sheep. That's the way that we go to the Father. That's how we get into heaven. He's known as the good shepherd that laid down his life, the great shepherd that was brought again from the dead, the chief shepherd that shall again appear. All these things, the root of Jesse, the root of David. He's known as the branch, the true vine. He is the true vine. He is the tree of life. He is the true bread from heaven. He is the light of the world. Think about that. It's a dark place, is it not, this world? And then when Jesus shines into a person's heart, the radical changes that takes place. I've been watching and being able to just pray about certain things and being very sensitive to, there's great darkness on this planet now. There's great difficulty that we see. But when the name of Jesus shines in the midst of it, light comes into the world and he changes everything for the better. He's known as the bright and morning star. In Revelation 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. We see in Scripture that he gives strength to the poor. We see he is a refuge from the storm. He is a horn of salvation. In Luke 1, 69, it says, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the midst of his servant David, in the house of his servant David. He's the rock of our strength. He's the rock of my salvation. And we see that today as we go through Scripture. He's known as the builder. It's interesting. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3, it says, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, speaking of Jesus, inasmuch as he who builds the house has more honor than the house. He's the builder. He's the sure foundation. He is the living stone. Peter said this about Jesus, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, a tried stone. In Isaiah 28, 16, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. And that, so we see that he would be tried on the cross. He would be persecuted. He is the chief cornerstone. Peter says, wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. And so if we just trust in him, rely upon him. You guys tired yet? Keep going? Thank you. I got permission. He's known as a stone of stumbling, an interesting, interesting title. Peter says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. He separates. We know that. You know, we can tell a person, as I've said many times through the years, we can say, well, God bless you. And they don't really get offended. But if we said, Jesus loves you, all of a sudden it divides. It divides differently. They know that we're a worshiper of Jesus. They know that we follow after him. Are we ashamed of the gospel Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 1, that we should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should always speak in every opportunity that we have, because we have the words of eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever and ever and ever and ever. We have the words of eternal life. A stone of stumbling. He will make people make choices. He truly will do that. He's known as the veil. The veil that was there in the temple. It speaks of his flesh. It says in Hebrews, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated through for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. His flesh. We were separated from God, but he broke down the separation there. The veil came tumbling down. He's known as the mercy seat, or a fancy word called propitiation. He's that place. That place where the blood was put that one day for the nation of Israel in the tabernacle and in the temple. But there, after Jesus Christ died, it says that the veil of the very temple was split in two from the top to the bottom. And the true mercy seat entered into the Holy of Holies so we could be forgiven and set free from all our sins. He's known as the great high priest. Hebrews says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He is the mediator. He is the intercessor. All of these things about Jesus Christ. And I love this one. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He's a gift to us. Anybody happy? He's our gift, the unspeakable gift. And he is the Redeemer. Isaiah 59:20 spoke of him, where it says, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, said the Lord. Again, he's known as the truth. Very important that we would see that. The faithful witness in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, and it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The faithful witness. He's known in Acts as the just one. We see that he is the Holy One of Israel. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the last Adam. And as we know, he is the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, although he were dead, yet he shall live. The verse after that says, do you believe this? Do we believe that today in Jesus Christ? If you don't today, if you've never really truly given your heart to Jesus Christ, then unfortunately you're still there in your sin. And our sins, according to the Bible, says it will separate us from God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who we come to celebrate. I was listening, and I didn't talk to Ed about the songs, but it's interesting how many songs spoke of the name of Jesus and gave praise to him this morning. He's known as the head of the body, the church. He is the head of all principality and power. He's the captain of salvation. That's who he is today. He's the author and finisher of faith. And we see that he's known as the deliverer. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, they shall come out of Zion, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. There's coming a time where ungodliness will be wiped off the face of the earth. Jesus will come back out of heaven, and those that are in heaven with him will come back, and he'll come back and establish his kingdom there in Jerusalem. And we're going to get to go there next month. Can't wait to go there. And we're going to get to go there and walk the cities. And someday, the streets of the city of Jerusalem, someday he's going to come back and establish his kingdom there. He's known as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back, ladies and gentlemen. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Judge. He will come and make judgment. And he is known as the Righteous Judge. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not only to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Are you waiting for the return of Jesus Christ? When I was standing over there this morning, someone walked in and said, it could happen today, Bill. What could happen today? He could come back. He could come back. Do we believe that? Are we looking forward to it today? Then the righteous judge will come back. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of glory, and he will be crowned with glory and honor. Listen, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And finally, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 12, it says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. We see that he is crowned with many, many crowns. Go with me to Revelation chapter 5, where we will end today. Revelation chapter 5. Do we serve a great Lord? We truly do. All that we have gone through, you know, there's probably over 350 beyond the ones that I found, but just all these names, all these titles, from the beginning to the end, Jesus said this book is written about him. And when we think about who he is and his names and his titles and all that reveals to us, and then we come to the end of times and look at verse 1 of chapter 5 of Revelation. It says, and I saw John the apostle, I saw in the right hand of him, God the Father, who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. The scroll tells about the end of the days, the return, as we would see, of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 5, it says, but one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and on of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came, Jesus came, and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he, Jesus, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, you and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us a kingdom of priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Isn't that amazing? We should praise the Lord, shouldn't we? This is what he's done for us. And then I looked, John said, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, just a large, very large number, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and as such are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They set a great example for us. We are to fall down and worship the Lord. Let's stand together, and we'll close in prayer. But I want to, as they come up, the worship team comes up right now, I want to encourage us to consider, where do we stand with this person named Jesus? His title, his full title, is Jesus Christ the Lord. He is the King of Kings, as we said. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Redeemer. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Almighty. He's come for us, for every human being, from Adam and Eve all the way through to the day that he came there in Jerusalem as one of us. He allowed himself to be born through a woman named Mary. He was a child that grew and didn't rebel against his father. When it came time and the father said, now go into the wilderness and begin your ministry, he went down to John the Baptist out of obedience and was baptized. We see then he began to preach and he called those to follow after him. And today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is still beckoning every single person that will have an open heart, an open mind, to come and receive eternal life. He came to die for every human being, as I said, all the way until he returns, whoever is the last person on planet Earth. But today, where are you? Where do we stand with Jesus? Do we know him in our heads? We know him as Jesus? Sure. But do we truly know him as the Lord of our lives? Has he become the Savior of our lives? Many people can go all the way through life. They truly can. They can come to church. They will profess that they know Jesus Christ. But they've only gone to their head. They haven't really invited him into their heart to receive them and surrender their life. Paul the Apostle had it correct. He said, because of the mercy of God, I'm going to present myself today, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God as my act of worship. Today, if we are Christians, we should present ourselves. As we sing this song, let's just take time and say, Lord, you are God. All these things we heard about you are true. But at this moment, between you and I just want to say, today I want to surrender everything. Whatever that may be, I surrender everything. And today, if you don't know that if you die, you're going to go to be with the Lord in heaven, this is very, very important. I do not know everybody. I tried to meet everybody that was out there. I don't know where your position is with Jesus. But if you are not assured in your heart that if you die today, which is a possibility, that you will leave this earth and go to be with God forever and ever, then it's important where you stand for you just simply to say a prayer and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are God and you came for each and every one of us. Jesus, I know that my sin will separate me from you. And so now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And I invite you to become my Savior. Come into my life and be my Lord. Pray that prayer. And God of heaven, Jesus the Christ, our Lord, will hear that. And he'll turn to the Father. As he turns to the Father, he'll say, Dad, because of my blood, that they now believe, wash away all of their sins, that they can receive eternal life. Father, we thank you that you've set this path for all of mankind to walk upon. For you loved us so much that you sent this person that we have studied today. We know that Jesus is God. He is the Messiah. He is Lord. Whether we choose to believe or not believe, it's not going to change anything as far as who he is, because he is who he is. He is the I Am of God. But I pray, Father, that as we sing this song, we that are Christians will just once again rededicate our lives and say, Lord, whatever you want, I want to be a person of love. I want to be a person of mercy. I want to be a person of sacrifice that will go to the ends of the earth for my loved ones. And again, Lord, if there's someone here that needs to give their heart to you, speak to them, Lord. Guide them through that they could just simply surrender at this moment. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word.